Amen. Man, appreciate this, brother. Amen. 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 Bless you, Sister Sherry. Appreciate this. Something else. Something else. I feel the need this morning to sing this song that's been on my heart all week. I guess you could say it's where the Lord's given me my thought this morning for the message He's given. Y'all pray for us. I try our best to sing it. The McCaney family sings it, and they do a much better job than we do. It had been 3 days his parents couldn't find him, but the scribes and the Pharisees were all gathered round him as a boy in the temple, speaking with such wisdom. They were all amazed at what he said. And in the middle of it all, there was Jesus, the one crying in the wilderness. John the Baptizer spoke of one who was to come, baptizing with fire. When John baptized him, the heavens were open, and God descended like a dove. And in the middle of it all, there was Jesus. The wedding at Canaan, the wine made from water, going from the ruler's house to bring life to his daughter. He spoke with authority straight from the Father. No one could explain away his power. And in the middle of it all, there was Jesus. On a hill just outside of town, a man hung there bleeding, dying for the souls of man to captives bring freedom. 3 days later, his tomb was empty. He conquered death and the grave. Yes, in the middle of it all, there was Jesus. So no matter what you're facing, no matter where you've been, in hard times or in good times, just keep your eyes on Him. He has, in the heat of battle or by pleasant mountain streams, He'll be right there in the middle. That's where He's always been. So be strong and take courage when you think you're gonna fall, 'cause right there in the middle of it all, there is Jesus. There is Jesus. And I know this morning the McCaney family would do a much better job of that than me. But the Lord has blessed us this week many times as we tried to listen to that. And I'm thankful to know, as they said, no matter where you are in life, no matter what you're facing, no matter the battles that may come your way, right there in the middle of it all is Jesus. Right there in the middle of it all. From the very beginning, all the way down through the very end of it, He's been right there in the middle of it all. This morning, that would be kind of along our thoughts is there was Jesus. This week also, I would say this. Braxton had his little graduation there for kindergarten, and they sung a rendition song of Journey's Don't Stop Believing this week, and that really blessed our heart, and I've had that thought on our mind as well, don't stop believing. So this week, as the Lord will be our help, do pray for us for a short time. I don't know how lengthy we'll be, but the Lord has given us this thought, and we want to look over in the 14th chapter of Exodus this morning for a reading lesson. And we want to be taking the scripture here, starting here in the 10th verse. We know, no doubt, that the children of Israel had cried out for over 400 years while they lay in bondage there in Israel. That they were, no doubt, in slavery to their taskmasters here. That was the Egyptians and Pharaoh, and they had cried out that God might deliver them. For 400 years, they had cried out. It oftentimes seems if we're not careful, if God doesn't answer our prayers exactly when we call out to Him or when we think that it's in time or in line with what God would have, we get a little impatient. But yet these people had cried out for over 400 years that God would deliver them. And yet even in that, God had sent Moses that he might go and declare unto them that he would send these famines and that he would send these pestilence that might come this way. And yet even in that, it seemed like oftentimes Pharaoh would might listen and then his heart would get hardened. And yet beyond that, God would send Moses again to declare unto him that these things was going to come and take place and to let the children of Israel go. And yet, once again, Pharaoh's heart would be hardened. And yet, we find here that when they were to have the Passover there, yet that once again, Moses went unto him and declared that. And yet, we know that God had hardened Pharaoh's heart because he would not let them go. God had instructed them the means that what they might do, that the firstborn might be protected as they might go and go upon the house and put the blood upon the post and upon the upper post, that the death angel might pass over. No doubt, as soon as that had taken place, and even in his mourning, yet Pharaoh still, yet he told him, he said, get out of here. Go on. If you want to go and serve your God, you go on. And yet we know then that Moses and the children of Israel, they took out and they began on their journey. But no sooner than it seems like that they had gotten out, that Pharaoh was hot on their trails. He couldn't stand it. It got all over him. He needed them back to accomplish whatever it was in the building and construction and all of those things. But yet, still with even in himself, there was a hatred there. He just couldn't let that take place. He got after them. And here in the 14th chapter is where we want to take up our reading in the 10th verse. Do pray for us for a short time this morning. It says, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them, that they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today, and for the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they goeth forward, but lift up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all the host, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near to the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And I'll continue on just here a short piece more, and it says, and the Egyptians pursued, and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all the Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And they took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily. And so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. And when the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. And there remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptian dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. With reading down through the 10th verse through the 31st verse this morning, with the mistakes we've made reading, I want to look here and examine what has taken place. And no doubt as the children of Israel began to look back and notice that Pharaoh and the Egyptians there were marching after them. And it says there that the children of Israel began to look out, and it says that they feared, and it says that Israel cried out unto the Lord. My friend, this morning I want you to understand, church, and it's very adamant that I want to get to my point here shortly, but it's very adamant that in our time of distress and in our time of need, whatever it is that we're facing, whatever it is that we're going through, that first and foremost, that we cry out to the one that can help us this morning. When we're lost and separated from God, oftentimes we tell lost people to trust in the Lord, to place their faith in Him, to know that He is the one that's going to deliver them. And this morning, if you've ever been saved, if you know what it is to have a joy and a peace that's down in your heart, then you know and understand the one that has delivered you before. And if He delivered you then, He will deliver you again. It's oftentimes, my friend, this morning that our faith becomes lacking. I want you to understand here this morning that these children of Israel, what God had come to pass with these pestilence and all of these things that had taken place, God had sent these great many things as a warning and as a sign unto these Egyptians that God might allow them to go free. God is working each and every day in our life. Every day. God does miracles oftentimes that we don't even think about. There's things that God does that He has protected us and brought us throughout our life that we can't even imagine the times God has stepped in our life. We want to oftentimes just look at the big things. Well, God has done this and God has done that, and we fail to even think about the little things oftentimes God has done. But here it is, it said, Israel cried unto the Lord. It began that they began their murmur and saying, you might as well have just left us there. And this begins to be a common trend for the children of Israel on their way through the wilderness. But in this moment, they said, should have just left us. He said, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today, and for the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. This morning I want you to know, as God's people and the day and time that we live in, I don't know if I've ever seen a time now more than ever that God's people needs to stand and see what God is able to do. I'll just be honest with you. My friend, this morning we as God's people need to have an earnesty upon our hearts, knowing and believing that God can do all things. All things. God can do that. Listen, if you was to look here at the map and some of the previous verses, there would have been a much easier route for them to have went about. But God said, no, I want you to go this way, Moses. I want you to take them this path. And when He had brought them there to the Red Sea, no doubt within themselves they began to look behind them and say, Pharaoh is there. He's hot on our trails, and yet the Red Sea is before us. Where do we go? Which way do we go, Lord? Which way do we go? How many times in your life have you found yourself to be in that position? Lord, which way do we go? I don't know. It seems like the devil, he's right on our heels. And I want you to know this morning that oftentimes, just as those Egyptians was, that he wanted to keep them enslaved and keep them working unto their taskmasters. Listen this morning, that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to keep your mind in the past this morning. He wants you to stay in a place this morning that you can't serve God. He knows this morning that He can't have your soul, but He wants you down in a place to where you can't serve Him, to where you can't bring honor and glory to God. He wants you in a place this morning where you can't feel the joy that's down in your heart. He wants you in a place this morning that you question what God is capable of. He wants you in a place this morning where you got the thoughts and the things of the world upon your mind. And you're looking behind you, and you're looking before you, and you're saying, God, I don't know which way to go. I don't know which way to turn. Listen what Moses said. He said, fear ye not, and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, stand still. Boy, we've got to quit getting in a hurry. We've got to quit getting in a hurry. And we've got to stand still and fear ye not. Because our God this morning is alive, and He hears our prayers, and He knows what we're going through, and He knows the trials and the tribulations of each and every person here this morning. Every one of us, He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're facing. But Moses said, fear ye not, and stand still. Listen. Folks, we're talking about the Savior of the world that's able to take care of the things that we're facing. I'm talking about the God that spoke all of this into existence. And if He can say, let there be light, and my friend, that there's light, I promise you this morning, when you get your heart right and you stand still and know who it is you're speaking to, He will hear you. Now, your deliverance may not always come like you think it will. It may not always come exactly the way you think it might come. But I'll tell you this morning that God will help you. It may not necessarily, like I said, come in the way of help that you might think it does, but He will help you. He said, "And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Listen this morning. How often has God fought your battles for you? How many times has He stepped up for you when you felt like you couldn't even pick yourself up off the floor? There's been times that God has stepped in your life and you think, "Boy, I'm too weak to go on, and I'm too this, or I'm not able to do that." And I tell you that God has stepped in and He has fought for you this morning because He loves you, and He's got a purpose for you, and He's got a plan for you, and He wants you to serve Him, and He wants His name to be exalted, and He wants you to recognize who it is this morning that you're serving. He is the Almighty. Listen, He says there to Moses, He said, "Moses," He says, "wherefore criest thou unto me?" He says, He said, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they may go forward." He says, "Listen now, there's a time for crying," and then He says, "There's a time for crying out," and then He says, "Listen, that there's a time of action." And He looks over there at Moses and He says, "Moses, it's time to take forth and stretch out your hand." He said then this, in the 19th verse, it says, "And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and a darkness to them. And it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near to the other all night." And I want to look over here in the 13th chapter in the 21st verse. And it says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, and to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire, to give them light to go by day and night. And He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from them before the people." And I want to look at one more verse here in the 31st verse. And it says, "And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." That's very important this morning. I know this morning that we look here that revival season is coming up, and the Lord give us an opportunity this week to go out and help over there in that little meeting. And boy, I tell you, it just blessed our heart, and it strengthened us, and it stirred up our heart this week, and it just strengthened us and just revived us and give us an opportunity and a desire to want to go out and tell people about Jesus. But boy, I tell you, I thought all week as we were preparing and getting ready to go to that little tent meeting over there, I thought, "Well, Lord, how many's going to show up this week? Listen, how many's really going to come out?" And boy, I just tell you, I'm ashamed to say, but I was already starting to doubt before we ever got there. I'll tell you what God done. God showed up over there at that little meeting. God showed up over there at that little meeting. It wasn't anything that we done, but was because someone had a burden about them on their heart, and it was because people began to cry out and to pray and to seek God's counsel that God might come in the midst of that place. Listen, this week, I know that our revival is drawing near, and I know oftentimes we get things upon our mind and the frustrations of the world, and it seems like oftentimes we get in a place, Lord, we don't know where to go or where to turn, and we're going through this life fast-paced. And I tell you what God wants. He wants us to come believing that He is able to do all things.
He said over there to them, it said in the Israel, which had, he said, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. My friends, this week I want you to know something. If I don't get nothing else out in this message this morning, I want you to know that there was a time in your life, if you've ever been saved, that you have believed upon the Lord Jesus. Now listen to me. If you ain't never believed upon Him for the satisfaction of your soul and trusted in Him to been saved, then I'll tell you this morning, then you ain't never believed in Him. I don't mean to hurt your feelings this morning, but I'm telling you, you've got to believe in Him. You've got to have confidence in Him. You've got to have faith in Him that He's able to move the mountains that's in your life. These people said that they believed Him. And as we gather in here in the next few weeks, listen to me, church, I want us to come believing that God is going to move in this place, that He's going to move. Don't come in here with preconceived notions about this or that. Listen, there's things that are going on in our lives. Some of our babies are getting older and graduating, and boy, we feel lost maybe, or our jobs, or whatever it is, our marriages, whatever it is that's going on in your life. Listen to me, God knows about it this morning. God knows about what you're going through. He knows about what you're facing this morning. Now listen to what He says. We talked to you this morning about that cloud, that pillar of cloud, and that pillar of fire. It said Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and a darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near to the other side. My friend, this morning I told you that I sang that song that there was Jesus. Right there in the middle of it all, there was Jesus. Right here in the middle of it all, everything that was going on between these Egyptians and these children of Israel, there was Jesus right there in the middle of it all. He had went by a pillar of cloud out before them, and we know there that He had went out by a pillar of fire at night, and God had instructed to them that to lead them in the way, that that they might look into Him, that they might follow Him, that they might keep their eye focused upon Jesus. And here it is, no longer, as they stood there at the Red Sea, no longer were they to stand there and look at those things, but it said that the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire removed them and went behind them. Listen to me this morning. Jesus has your back. He has your back more than anybody else in this world. There's often times I think, well, my wife is my best friend. Or I have some really good friends in this life. But I'll tell you this morning, the one that has my back far greater than anybody else is the Lord Jesus. He has your back. And beyond that, He positioned Himself in the middle. He became the middleman. And even when we read about it there in the New Testament, yet once again He became the middleman, as He was the cross in the middle between the two thieves. He's always been right there in the middle of it all. In the heatest battle, in the hottest furnace, that He was there as the fourth man loose walking around in the fire. He's always been there. Oftentimes, we don't recognize that. But here He was. He said, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. The Egyptians there, they couldn't see. Jesus Christ is a light unto the world. His word is a lamp unto our feet. He's our very present help in trouble. He's there for us in our time of need. In our greatest times, He's there. He's our refuge. He's the rock that we're standing on. He's everything to us. He makes up our existence. He's our hope. He's our assurance. He's everything that we desire. And yet, oftentimes, if we're not careful, we'll forget that. The first time that something comes upon the scene, instead of running to God, we run from God. We think we know how to figure it out the best on our own. Lord, I think I know maybe a little bit better. I want to try to figure this out on my own. I promise you this morning, He knows just exactly what you stand in need of in your life. He knows everything it is that you're going through. It said that it was a darkness to the Egyptians. The world don't understand Jesus this morning. They don't understand it. They can't comprehend what it is to have the Spirit of God that dwells in your heart. They can't comprehend that. It's foolishness to them. They don't understand. They don't get it. They can't comprehend it, what it is that when that sweet, soft spirit, that sweet, still, small voice speaks to you in the late of night, or when you're driving up and down the road and He tells you, fear not. Stand still and fear not, because I'm here with you. I'm going to take care of you. Because I love you, and because I've got plans for you, and because I know what lies out ahead of you. That's the God that we serve. The world don't understand it. It's a darkness to them. It's foolishness to them. But yet on the other side of that, as Jesus was there in the middle, it was a light unto them. It was a light unto Israel. And in their deepest and darkest hours of despair, there they were in the night. And Moses stood there. And as he went out with the children of Israel, by night it says. And it says Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry upon the land, and the waters were divided. Listen here this morning. I'm telling you that the same God that that Israel served at this time, that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's never changing. And when He can take these people that were in bondage, and He can lead them out with a strong hand. And Moses stretched forth his rod. And as he stretched forth his rod, those waters began to roll back. And then here the children of Israel began to walk out upon dry ground. Upon dry ground. Oftentimes I think about what the Lord said, O ye of little faith. Well, I tell you, my faith gets weak. I told you this week that the little kindergarten group done that rendition of that song, Don't Stop Believing. I'm not here this morning trying to promote Journey to you, but I'll tell you this. We better not stop believing what God can do. That's the problem today, I believe, in my heart with Christians. We've got to a place to where we go through the motions, and yet we fail to believe what God can really do. When God was over there, when the Lord was there on the day of Pentecost, I believe His Spirit was there, and it come out of that place, it said, like a rushing mighty wind. And Peter began to preach with cloven tongues of fire, the Bible says. And he began to proclaim the gospel there. And we know there that the Bible says that 3,000 souls were added unto the church. Now that was a very special day. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and let us be glad in it. Today is a special day. Today is a special day because God has made this day. We don't have tomorrow. We don't have 2 weeks from now that we might have revival. Boy, I hope that God gives us that along. But I'll tell you what, until that time comes, let us be praying and believing that God is fixing to send a revival this way. Do you believe? Don't stop believing. Believe and know that God is fixing to do something big. You say, well, how big, preacher? You want to know what the biggest miracle is to me today? Boy, I've seen God do some things. Some things even in my own life. God has done some miracles, but you want to know what God's miracles that He's still doing all the time that we just, well, oftentimes we don't think a lot about. When He brings somebody that's dead in their sins and trespasses, and He gives them life, and He gives it to them more abundantly, that's a miracle that God has sent. That's a miracle. And church, I'm telling you this morning, I'm hungry for a miracle. I'm hungry to see God save somebody. I'm hungry for it. Are you hungry for it this morning? Do you want to see God move in your life? Do you want to see God move in His church? Then come believing and knowing that God is fixing to do something. Believing and knowing. These children of Israel sit out there and they said, boy, Pharaoh's got us in a place. He's got us in a place and we don't know which way to go. Moses said, I'll point the way. This morning I want you to know there's times, I know y'all look to me to be your pastor, but I'm just going to be honest with you, there's times that I don't know which way to go. There's times that I don't know which way to go. But I'll tell you the one that does. That's Jesus. Jesus knows which way to go. Jesus knows what we stand in need of. Jesus knows what we need and what we are looking for and searching for this morning. Come believing and knowing. Jesus has always been there, right there in the middle. Always. Always. Have faith in Him. Have faith. The faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. You ever seen how small a little mustard seed is? It's small. It's so minute. It's so small. And you think, boy, if I just have that much faith, you're telling me that God can move mountains? That's what He says. God is not a liar. Have faith in Him that God can move the mountains that's in your life. And not only in your life, but the things that's going on around us. The things that are in our church. The lost people that are our family. Have faith this morning that God can save your lost loved ones. Cry out to Him in a sense that you know that He's going to save them. Listen to me this morning. I've got confidence in God. I do. You know what's what trust is? Having faith and confidence in Him. The Bible tells us, don't put your trust in confidence. He says, don't put your trust in man. Let me read that. 118th division of Psalms. I'll mess that up. Verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. Trust in the Lord. Listen to me this morning. I know that if you've been saved, there's a time that you've had to trust in Him. There's a time that you've had to put your faith in Him. There's a time, church. We put forth we call it a revival, but it's called an effort meeting. And we come forth and we put forth that effort for the week. Get in there. Dig in. Invite your neighbors. Don't just go there on Facebook and said, well, I've shared this post and I've invited all that I can invite. Listen to me. A lot of people like a good casual invite. I'm still one of them kind of people. I'm not much of a phone person. I'm just not. I don't do real good on Facebook. But I'll tell you this. I like to sit down and talk with people. I still like to talk with people face to face. Invite somebody. Encourage somebody to come. And then when you encourage them to come into the Lord's house, put forth the effort. And then when you put forth the effort, come believing and knowing that God is fixing to do something big. Before you ever come through those doors, before you ever come, don't come down upon yourself thinking, well, we'll just go through the motions tonight. Or what would have happened had they had been there and Moses said, well, there's no hope for us. Here we are. We're caught between Pharaoh and the Egyptians and the Red Sea. What are we going to do? Boy, we should have stayed right where we was. Now we're all going to die. Moses stretched forth his hand and he said, lead you across on dry land. God come through with that east wind and rolled back those waters. Listen to me this morning. I'm looking for an east wind to roll through this place. I'm looking for an east wind to roll through this place this morning. Have faith and confidence that God can do it. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. I know this morning this message may sound simple. And I guess it probably is. But know this morning that Jesus has always been there. No matter what it is that you're facing. No matter what it is that you're going through. And then know that when He's there, that He can take you and help you. And He can be your refuge. Your very present help in trouble. Listen to me, church. Trust the Lord. Put your faith in God. Believe that He can do it. Whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is this morning that you're facing, believe that God can do it. Don't stop believing. Know that He can. Know that He will. I don't know this morning what God has in store for any of us. I don't know. But I'm trusting and leaning upon the Lord that He's going to bless us. And you know something better than that this morning? God wants to bless us. He wants to save our lost. He wants to clean our altars off. He wants our homes to be full of love and full of Christ. He wants all of that this morning. If we're just willing to look towards Him. This morning, that'd be our message. Don't stop believing. Put your trust and faith in the Lord. Look to God. He's always been there. Boy, I'm thankful this morning that Jesus has always been there. Every time throughout my life, He's always been there. We talked a little bit about this morning in Sunday school. I've not always treated Him with the reverence and the respect that He deserves. But I'll tell you this. Every time I finally got down to a place where I could call on Him, He's always been there. This morning, let's stand and have a verse or two of song, Brother Strode. If you've never placed your trust or confidence in the Lord, I encourage you this morning to do that. There's nobody in this world that's got your back more than Jesus. He'll help you. He'll guide you. He'll lead you through this walk of life. And then when the time comes for you to lay this walk of life down, He'll be there once again. Stand this morning and sing, Brother Strode, if you'll help.
194.